2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
The MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet and you'd like to do so, but a little hesitant to do it, use the promo code WIN, W-I-N. That'll get you 7 free days behind the Army barrack walls. You get access to our domination station, creating 150 lineups for your golf and for your NASCAR needs. And then you can also use our MLB VIP access area where you get all sorts of things, including great projections with up-to-date lineups. You get Burnsy's Analytics Corner. You get my words and wisdom. And, of course, the Daily Donuts article that we got going on there, as well as David's Free Squares. Chop-a-dong early in the morning as well. You get plenty of great stuff, folks. But you can only get it if you're a member. DFSArmy.com, use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, and if you want to sign up with us afterwards, you like what you see, do the monthly thing, and tell them the podcast sent you. Promo code PODCAST, we're keeping it easy. I'm your host, Al Walsh, leader of the Kevin Gausman bandwagon, and also leader of the Cody Bellinger hate club. You can find me on Twitter, though, at 14a.walsh. Find my co-host, Keith Hall, on Boomer's DFS Daddy. So, no podcast yesterday, but I gotta brag a little bit for my greatness in golf over the weekend. Nearly took down two 12 single dollar entries. I had it all the way up to $1,700 on $24. Ended up with $500, and then bought two new pairs of sneakers.
Wow!
Not for $500. I want to make that clear. I'm not one of these sneakerheads that, I need to have the newest Jordans and whatnot. I got two pairs of Nikes for like $110. I'm kind of proud of myself. That's online shopping at its finest, folks.
Okay.
Speechless.
I don't know about speechless, but like you're sitting there going, okay, what can I spend $110 on? And The first thing that comes to my mind is definitely not a pair of sneakers. I've got a pair of Under Armour. I've got a pair of Nikes. I've got my black dress shoes. I've got my brown Skechers, and I got a pair of flip flops. I buy more cleats, like baseball cleats, than I do sneakers. I have a pair of black Under Armour shoes as well. You know, because my other two pairs of shoes are, you know, they've got blue in them. So if I'm not wearing something that blue can go with, and let's just be honest, blue can go with pretty much everything. You gotta wear the black. So
I should preface this by saying that I really needed some shoes. Like I was just gonna get one pair. You know, and then, you know, you spend a certain amount online, you get the free shipping and whatnot. I said, damn, man, damn. So I got two nice pairs of Nikes, one with the neon green. That's my go-to nowadays.
You should have just asked. Like, I had an online coupon at Dick's yesterday.
Well, that's where I got them from.
Okay. 20% off if you spend more than, I think it was $75.
That's exactly how I rolled, bro.
There you go.
Yeah. I try to tell the people in the Slack channel, hey, anybody needs some sneakers, go to dicksportinggoods.com. And they didn't even pay me to do that. And everyone was like, wow, that's just weird. Like, why would anybody tell me to go shopping at Dick's? Anywho.
Here's a funny story about Dick's. Me and Heather were first started dating. It was Labor Day weekend. And
it's been G-rated.
It's G-rated. And we were... she had asked me to put up a towel rack in her house at the time that she was living with, one of her friends and stuff. And like I said, we had just started dating.
The roommate days.
The roommate days. And, I was like, okay. And so I'm not what they would call a handyman, a tool man, although
Next two of us.
I'm dangerous with it. I can do things, but the quality of them is always very, very, very sketchy. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good.
Wondering how Dix plays into this.
Hold on. And we were like, we have, if you go down one of our main streets here in Tulsa, we've got a Lowe's, we've got a Home Depot, and then we've got a Dick's right across the street.
Right.
And so we were, Labor Day, we always play a big, huge tournament here in baseball down here and stuff like this. And this is before DFS days. This is like 2011. And we were driving, and I was like, or she was like, yeah, we need to go get a towel rack at Man World. I was like, Man World? She's like, yeah, you know, Home Depot. I was like, that's not my Man World. My Man World is Dick's. I did not realize what I was saying until after I said it. And there it goes. So.
Now, my very, it's not even a story about Dick's, but I mean, Dick's is included in it. But you ever see the it's a picture of a mini like shopping plaza mall. So the three stores there, Kohl's, Staples, and Dick's. So below, Kohl's, Staples, Dick's. It's hysterical. You'll find it online somewhere.
Yeah,
there are people that know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
but,
I'm sure they do.
Anywho, we try to move past. Yesterday we had a day of great pitching, a lot of great options to go to. My man Gausman ended up being the best dollar per point play there on FanDuel, but you still had James Paxton, who's just been on absolute fire right now, in a very tough matchup against the Red Sox nonetheless, just absolutely skilled them last night for 61 FanDuel points. So that was good. Jacob DeGrom got off to an awesome start, but the Padres started getting to him a little bit there at the end. Jabari Blash almost ended it. It came about 6 millimeters from ending it with a walk-off three-run homer last night. It almost spoiled his win last night, but it was not to be. And then Zach Greinke had a pretty good night. But again, I think we're seeing Greinke kind of, you know, slowly slip away from that upper tier of pitchers. But he's still a very solid pitcher out there.
Yeah, it's that's one of those things that you've got to – you got to really, really look into, make sure that you are – oh, the pitching has been crazy lately. I didn't even mention
Adam Conley. Hell.
Oh, I know.
One of my favorites.
I've been doing pretty good about, you know, just going and just really kind of making the ability to throw in bats and then fill in pitching as it goes. And that's exactly what it's kind of been. I think that today is another good day considering some of the discounted pitching that we can get. So,
yeah, you know, it's a start, and I know you're going to get a great chuckle out of this, but you know me, like I'm a big fan of Derek Hardy's The Bat, and I don't know what it is, but over the last week, the rankings for pitcher have been like, basically if you turn them upside down, that's how you would do better with the rankings. Like they just, I don't know what it is for pitching. They just haven't been on this week. But I'm even more proud of myself because I realized this and I said, you know what? I'm going off the radar here. And a lot of these pitching plays that I've had this week have not correlated with that, but they've still done pretty well. The Aaron Nola on Friday there going up against the Brewers. I believe there was something over the weekend. And then we had Gausman last night, which was pretty awesome.
As Al gets a phone call. And did not have his phone on silent.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah, I'm glad. And now I got the headphones in. I got to go off. Very unprofessional, but, you know.
I'm not editing that out either. You're going to get blasted.
You might as well. So. All right. Let us get into today's slate. Today is a 14-game slate on this Tuesday. Taco Tuesday, if you got your tacos. I actually had tacos yesterday, so it was a Taco Monday.
Taco Tuesday.
But. Let us start out with the pitching before we get into any of these bats. Today, you know, what I was kind of trying to segue in the beginning there, not the Dick story, with the pitchers from last night, is that we had a lot of great options last night. But tonight, it's a very opposite sort of night in terms of which. So
I think you're absolutely 100% dead wrong.
Well, we'll get into it, but we do have to dig into these numbers, so let's get started. Who's your top guy tonight?
Oh, are we not going stacks first? I was all prepared for stacks first.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, well, let's go pitchers, because then that way we can go stacks,
hold on,
stacks
let me pull
and bats.
Let me pull up the pitchers instead of the stacks. My goodness gracious.
You know what I mean? I'm always changing shit on the fly.
Oh, no kidding. Dummy.
Gotta keep your toes. All
right, so pitchers. Well, I mean, it's not a good matchup considering – but, I mean, let's just start off at the top of the leaderboard or top of the pricing board. And his price has come down a little bit. But, you know, Madison Bumgarner is facing the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, granted, the Giants are not a good baseball team. And he has not broken, you know, 40 fantasy points since his first start. But with that said, he is the most talented pitcher on the board tonight.
Indeed.
And he does, as long as, you know, the Giants have some, you know, run potential in there, which is not a guarantee considering who, I like the other end of this pitching matchup as well.
Indeed.
It's definitely, I'm torn on it. He's got the highest upside. He's not my favorite pitcher on the board, but he's got the highest upside because he is Madison Bumgarner. Now I'm wondering if that is, I'm reading too much into the name cache, and not enough into the matchup. I mean, if you look at the Pirates over the last 30 days against left-handed pitching, 386 wOBA, 209 ISO, and only a 13.2% strikeout rate. Okay. But with that said, he's got the highest DFSA grade by far on the slate tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't, when you say, you know, reading too much into the name cache, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I mean, you know, I think people are going to see Bumgarner's struggles. But again, you know, we're going to get Madison Bumgarner, probably the lowest ownership that we'll ever get him. So that part of it is appealing, but the actual real life numbers, those are not appealing. You know, I found this out today. I almost fell off my chair, but the Giants have not won a game in which Bumgarner has started this season. And now it's only six starts, nothing to be too alarmed about. But again, this is a former Cy Young winner, somebody that should have won a game by now. I will say this as well, though. It's not like he's getting the best run support either. And, you know, on opening day, he did get five runs of support, but since that, in the last five starts, he's only gotten seven runs in those games. So it's going to be interesting. I think they're going to be tough to come by tonight. Again, going up against Jameson Taillon, who might as well just float right into him. But, you know, he's a guy that we don't see him go too long into games, but it's not necessarily the pitch count. It's efficiency. He has gone over 100 pitches in four of his last five starts, has gone 3-1. In that same span. And then in two of his last three starts, he's posted 8 strikeouts and 9 strikeouts. That part, all of that's appealing. And he gets to pitch into AT&T Park, also appealing. One last appealing bit, you know, the Giants only minus 130 favorites on the money line for Madison Bumgarner on the mound. That is a joke. But again, you know, hard to argue with how he's done so far. So I think Taillon could be a good option here. It's just, is he going to be efficient enough with the pitches? You know, again, Pirates have let him go over 100 for these last five starts. So that's not the issue. It's just, what's he going to do with those pitches?
Exactly. It's always, you know, questionable on what he does have a good matchup. I mean, you're talking about a Giants team that's got below a 300 wOBA. They're hitting, they've got a 123 ISO. They're striking out almost 21% of the time versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days. And this is a ballpark that you shouldn't see a lot of runs in. Now, if we would have done a pod yesterday, I would have told you to stack Pirates as I did in Boomers Bombers. And then people were asking me who was on the Pirates. And I was like, this guy. Woohoo. So,
this yeah, I wasn't, is not, even on the late slate, I didn't have any. I was, I
yeah,
shouldn't
this
have done
is,
that.
This is not a place where I want to pick bats from. I mean, unless you want to go with, if Taillon ends up becoming chalky, then I guess you could. You know, pick like a Buster Posey or let's see else, you know, somebody like that.
But honey, it's Buster Posey.
Exactly. You know, maybe a Brandon Belt who seems to be hitting the ball a lot better, or actually a Denard Span actually looks pretty good. But this is not something that I would, you know, try to attack. Definitely by far as the hitters are concerned. But I mean, this could be one of those DK spots where you just pair up the two and, you know, rocket up the leaderboard if this becomes a pitcher's duel.
Yeah. Again, both of those guys, great options. Of course, we've got other ones. Sonny Gray at Toronto tonight. Again, he's a guy that is probably going to be elsewhere from Oakland. This is probably going to be his last start in an A's uniform. A couple of these Blue Jays do have good numbers against him, so that does worry me. And again, the Blue Jays much better against right-handed pitching than they are against lefties. So do you overlook that? You like Gray in this one? What's your thoughts here?
Sonny Gray?
Yeah.
I don't like the ballpark, but I mean, we've seen how inconsistent Toronto can be this year, whether that be against lefties, righties, or, you know, ambidextrous folk. it's kind of one of those things that it's one of those hedgy feels. You know, yeah, Sonny Gray has looked absolutely amazing, but, you know, it's one of those that Toronto can hit the ball and hit the ball hard and far.
Yeah, Toronto's still favored in this one, even though going up against Cesar Valdez, you know, not somebody that we know too much about here on the circuit. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We still have the total at 9.5 for this one. Maybe a lot of that could have to do with the A's later on in this one. But again, maybe Gray says, you know what, maybe one last performance for the Gipper here in Oakland, and maybe that'll increase my trade value. Who the hell knows? But I think one way or the other, this is going to be his final Oakland start. Just going down the price list here on FanDuel, just talking about a couple of these guys, but Michael Fulmer, not exactly in the greatest spot. Kansas City did a number on him the last time that he went out, and then Fulmer's strikeouts lately just have not been up there. I believe he's only got like 6 in his last 3 starts.
And I agree with you on this, but here's something that's funny, okay? We just saw this matchup 5 days ago, and right, he had, you know, he threw 2 2/3, 7 hits, 2 strikeouts, 5 earned runs, okay? Before that, he had pretty much averaged right around, let's say, 38 FanDuel points per game, okay? You have a 51 in there, and you have a 25 and a 24 in there. I mean, this is a guy that has thrown 8 2/3 against this same team, and not very much long ago. This is about a month ago, you know. So this is the third time he's facing him in a month, and second straight start. How many times have we seen a guy with 2 straight starts in a row? It go completely opposite of what the other end did.
Very true.
I actually like Fulmer just because of that kind of game theory. Nobody's gonna touch him going up against Kansas City after they just absolutely just imploded him. With that said, Detroit's defense did not help him out in the first inning. I think there were 2 or 3 unearned runs.
That is correct. Yes. Yeah, he gave up 8, 5 of them earned.
Yeah, so I like going back there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point that you make. I mean, not only what you just said about, you know, seeing a team twice in 5 days, you know, how it's night and day between the two starts. But even in a series, you know, when we see the Royals, they got the win last night. Typically, you know, you'll see kind of these two teams jockey between wins in the first two games in the series and then have more of a rubber match. I mean, you could, you know, obviously put your own spin on that in each series, but I don't mind that play. I think what you're saying there has a lot of credence for Michael Fulmer. Jose Berrios going up against the Dodgers tonight. I know that's one that's going to make a lot of people wince, but the opening line for the Dodgers in this game was below 200. I know that's a spot that we typically don't see the Dodgers. For a second, it made me, you know, feel a little warm and fuzzy inside. I know it's not the greatest matchup there, but I guess, you know, Berrios did have a good start last time out against the Yankees. My issue with him is, number one, going against the Dodgers, but two, like pretty much all of his very good starts have been at home. So with him on the road, it's a little different. But, of course, we have seen the Dodgers strike out from time to time a great deal. So, again, I would like low-dollar GPPs, this might be a decent one.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go anywhere near Jose Berrios. I know he's got the upside. But with the way the Dodgers are hitting, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I would not again. Be shocked. I would not be shocked if something good comes from it, but I'm not going to go to the hard stance on Jose Berrios to play him.
I completely understand that. And, you know, again, that one wasn't to make anybody feel good, but again, it's a big risk in that one. One that I feel is probably going to be the most popular tonight, Charlie Morton going up against my Philadelphia Phillies. Look, the thing about Morton is he's been much worse against right-handers, and, you know, you're going to have to wait. I always wait and see what Morton, like, I think he's okay. Like, I'm not as high on him as everybody else is, but I like to look at the lineup and see, you know, what teams are putting out there. The Phillies, you know, they have the ability to put a bunch of lefties out there, so that could be a good thing for Morton if that ends up happening. But even if the righties go out, you know, or, you know, whatever righties the Phillies put out there against them, it's not going to be too daunting.
Yeah, I hope your boys actually look at the splits and throw out a bunch of righties out there, because I think that a lot of people are going to blindly just play him. And yeah. If it's a righty-heavy lineup, then I'm going to have a couple Philly stacks. And I don't know if I can pay $8,600 for Charlie Morton. Mm-hmm. I think he's a pretty good sure bet for the win, just because the Astros' offense on the road is just – I mean, they make every freaking stadium like Coors Field. And then they can't hit at home at all.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't think there's a day that's going to go by the remaining of the season where I won't have variations of Astro stacks when they're on the road. Yeah. So it's
plenty of run support for Charlie tonight. That is a plus. My old friend Cole Hamels, 2008 World Series MVP, of course, but he's going up against the Marlins tonight. And, you know, plenty of history here against this Marlins team from his days with the Phillies. That could go either way in terms of being a good thing or a bad thing. What's interesting about Cole Hamels, though, is that, you know, last season, and I guess his first in Texas back in 2015 and then 2016, we saw him struggle a lot in Texas. But this year has actually been a little bit of a different story. 3-0 there this season with a 2.22 ERA. The Rangers last night just absolutely sucked at the plate. So this is another one of those instances where maybe the feeling comes around. But again, these are going to be the best hitting conditions of the day in Texas. So that kind of, you know, loosens up the appeal on Hamels real quick.
I don't know. I can't do it. Mainly because Giancarlo Stanton decided that he was going to get off of his little soapbox that he was on and stop striking out versus left-handed pitching last night.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, in my opinion, by far one of the best plays on the board. And with the way that he'd been hitting left-handed pitching lately, he was also very, 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 very you could have made a – sorry, I didn't mean to go with the very berries. You could have made a very good case to fade him, you know, because of the projected ownership. This is round two, and you have some BVP here. I know it's, you know, only a 250 average, 12 for 48, but he's got 3 home runs and 6 extra base hits, he's got 6 extra base hits total. Yeah. 3 home runs, 2 doubles, and a triple. He has struck out 19 times compared to 2 walks, but I think
19.
I think after what you saw last night, he's going to be highly owned again. And this might be the place where I fade him.
Yeah, I faded him last night because, again, with Martin Perez, We know he's a guy that certainly gives up hits, you know, puts guys on base. But, you know, the long ball is something that he's been pretty good at. So that was my, you know, my thing into fading Giancarlo Stanton last night. But, again, 19 strikeouts in, what is this, 51 plate appearances? That is not good. Obviously not seeing him that well. But, again, guy like Stanton, he puts the bat on the ball. It goes a long way. So, you know, again, it's not for the faint of heart. And I'm sure people are going to go right back to Stanton tonight. But, yeah, I have no problem fading him. There is, we'll get to it later on with the positions, but there is one guy that completely owns Hamels in this Marlins lineup, and it's somebody that you probably wouldn't even think of. So,
I kind of do.
Okay. Well, don't ruin the surprise, man. All right. This is a podcast full of surprises. Now the next two guys we talk about, they're actually in the same game. Boston at Seattle, so that means we got Drew Pomeranz, the lefty, going up against Felix Hernandez, the righty. I love Pomeranz in this one. I'm going to be on that Felix Hernandez hate bandwagon until the day he's out of Major League Baseball. But
why are you hating on King?
I think he's completely eroded. I do.
Yeah, he showed you how completely eroded he was last time out,
didn't he? That's fine. It's coming back around again, all right? He can have his little tour with his fans with the yellow shirts and the Aqua Stadium, but, you know, he can have his King's Court, whatever the hell he's got going on. I love Drew Pomeranz in this matchup. As of now, this is the pitcher that I like the most, but things can certainly change throughout the day.
Okay.
What do you think about the matchup?
I think you're hating on King Felix a little bit because I think he's starting to catch lightning in a bottle and figuring out how to pitch. Look, he's not going to be the guy that goes out and gives you 12, 13 strikeouts every game now, but he is a guy that has he's going to give up more hits than he used to. So this is strictly a FanDuel play, you know, but for a guy that, you know, is a lot easier to hit than he normally, he's learning how to pitch a lot better with his eroded stuff. It's a guy that's only 29, 30 years old.
Been around, you know, a while.
He's been around since he was like 19. But I mean, he's got at least 8 strikeouts in his last, or 2 out of his last 3. He's got at least 5 strikeouts going back to, you know, June 23rd. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 starts. He's only really been blown up once in that those 6 starts, and that was versus Kansas City, who kind of actually own him a little bit. I haven't looked a lot at what the quote-unquote numbers are, the BVP here. I do know that Mitch Moreland has got him a couple times, but other than that, I don't see anybody that really, really, really gets him. I could be wrong. Dustin Pedroia looks like he's got some good history against him.
Anyway, it was like Pedroia and Jackie Bradley Jr. that had decent numbers against him.
Yeah, other than that, I'm not really worried about him. I don't think he's going to go out and, you know, duplicate the performance that he did last time. Right. But, I mean, I don't have any problems going to King Felix tonight in King's Court.
Anyway, I, you know, again, for me, the hate on Felix, you know, if he,
okay, so let me
if
ask
his
you
car
this.
Broke down in front of my house, I'd let him in to make a call and, you know, grab some water, you know.
Okay, let me ask you this. Favorite pitcher,
we all have cell phones nowadays, so
favorite pitcher, 8600 or up?
8600 or up?
Yes.
Wow, I gotta go with Hamels, and that's not favoritism.
Okay.
Mine is
a little bit different. Mine's Fulmer out of that.
Okay. And you made a great case.
You know, if I'm sitting at that 8,600 and up spot, I'm going to see if I can do everything I can to possibly find the extra $200 to get to, or $300 to get to Michael Fulmer.
So, now we talked a lot about Felix in this one. What about Pomeranz?
I don't mind him. The one thing that I am scared of is obviously Nelson Cruz. He's the one guy that really, really, really scares me. And I don't care about the history. It's a lefty and it's Nelson Cruz. So that's where I have this, what's the word? hesitation.
Anchoring?
Okay. Hesitation. That's the only one that really, really, really scares me.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, just looking at the VVP numbers against Pomeranz, Cano, Seager, Zanino, Cruz, all have not hit well off them in their career. I don't think there were
too many good numbers. This game feels like it's going to be like 3-2.
Yeah, could certainly be there.
Because of the way and not really a lot of, you know, not because we don't have faith in the offenses, okay? But just the way that both of these pitchers have been pitching. I mean, Pomeranz, honestly, he's been Boston's best starter, not named Chris Sale, for the last 2 months.
Yep.
And Felix, the last, you know, we just went over his numbers. He's, besides James Paxton, he's been their best starter. This feels like a really low-scoring game, and I would be shocked, or I would not be shocked if, this is one of those games that comes down to the 7th, 8th inning, and neither one of these starters get the win, but they both pitched very, very well and both got you quality starts.
Yep, I can definitely see that. Just a couple numbers on Pomeranz before we move on. 5 quality starts in his last 7 outings, 3-0 with a 3.255 ERA in July. And he's actually been pretty good on the road, 4-2 with a 3.06 ERA and 9 starts. So we've got that. All right, let's go quickly through the rest of these pitchers here.
We're not going to be able to go quickly through one of them.
Fair enough. Jacob Faria against the Orioles. I'll just go through a couple. I don't really have too many feelings on most of these guys, but if you have any, feel free. I don't know, Faria against the Orioles. 6 quality starts and 7 tries this season.
No, the Orioles... I don't know what it is. I really, really don't. But the Orioles seem to hit very, very well in Tampa.
7 quality starts, 8 tries for Faria.
Yeah, he's been good. He's been really good. I just don't think he with the when you combine the fact that Tampa Bay can't hit right now. On top of the fact that Baltimore is, say what you want to say, but a dangerous offense, especially since they put Adam Jones in that leadoff spot, I'm a little skeptical there.
All right, fair enough. Kenta Maeda, I think a lot of people are going to go there just because he's with the Dodgers, but again, a guy that does not go deep into games. Mikey Clevinger going up against the Angels tonight at home.
Nope.
No, huh?
Nope.
Yeah, he's another guy that doesn't go too deep into games. Seems like 6 is where he gets capped off at, but he has pitched very well lately, so keep that in mind. Danny Duffy against the Tigers. I already know what you're going to say. Don't worry. Julio Chacin of the Padres. He's at home going up against the Mets. The numbers at home this season. Now we got an angel on our shoulder and a devil on our shoulder here. So at home, Chacin has been absolutely lights out. He is, what the hell are you, dude? Oh, 5-2, 1.94 ERA in 10 starts. That's the good. The bad, he faced the Mets earlier this season, and it did not go well. Now, keep in mind, Keith, this is on 40 pitches, okay? 40 pitches. He goes 2/3 of an inning, allows 8 hits, and gives up 7 runs on 40 pitches.
Needless to say,
the BVP is good against Chacin.
Yeah. That was in New York, though.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to, and we talk about this, you know, I'd be willing to say that that's not going to be the case tonight. I mean, he doesn't have to do a lot to pitch a lot or to make sure that he pitches better than what he did in New York. I think he's a different pitcher now than he was at the end of May, which is when that start was. If you look at it, he's gone 8 out of his last 9 starts have gone at least 6 innings.
Yeah, we're of the quality variety.
No, yes, yes, absolutely.
It's in the notes. I got it. Don't worry.
I mean, he's 8,000. That's not a price that you really want to pay for Yoelis Chiasson, but it's not terrible considering, you know, the overall quality of pitchers on today's slate.
I want to throw something else out there at you and the people. So, you know, we talk about this a lot. So the Mets just made that cross-country trip, you know, from New York to San Diego. I've noticed this season where teams making that cross-country trip, it's not necessarily that first game after
they
make the trip.
Took
it's
the thought right out of my head.
It's the second one where they just come out completely flat. So I'll be interested to see what that looks like tonight. And that's funny that you had the same thought because I've been thinking of it for a while.
That's exactly one of my thoughts with the Pirates and Madison Bumgarner tonight. It's not usually the first game coming out of Coors Field. Although you do feel it, it's usually the second game that kind of hits you. You know, it's something that's – I don't know where to find the data. And I don't know how to analyze the data, but I know it's there.
Okay.
And just like you said, it's the second. It's usually not the first game that catches you with that jet lag. It's the second game. After you've been there, now you've exerted energy. I agree with you on that. Yoelis Chiasson is another good one.
A couple of these Spanish Mets probably went down to Tijuana after the game. Last night,
in my opinion, I wish Jose Reyes would have just.
I mean, hell,
there.
I'm sure Conforto, Jay Bruce. I mean, anybody can go to Tijuana. I've never been, but I hear good things.
I've never been either. So,
all right, real quick with some yays or nays. Seth Lugo against the Padres in that same matchup.
Don't mind it. That's a meh.
Okay.
Just because, and let me get into the stats here. Sure. Just because he hasn't eclipsed more than 6 strikeouts this season.
Interesting.
So his high point was when he threw. It was basically his opening day after the World Baseball Classic. They're going to be very, very, very careful with this. Now he has pitched into the seventh his last 2 starts. You know, one of those was against Colorado where he allowed 3 earned runs, pitched pretty well, but didn't strike out a lot. The other one was, you know, against St. Louis, where he pitched pretty well, allowed 1 earned run, didn't strike out a lot. Both of those were at home. Yep. He seems to do better at home than he does on the road, so I'm not really sure. But the matchup is there. I just don't think that the upside is there.
Gotcha. Jordan Montgomery at home against the Reds.
Negative, Charlie.
All right. Speaking of Tijuana Walker.
I have some interest here. You look at this. The last start was in Atlanta. He only threw 6 innings, had only 4 strikeouts, allowed 2 earned runs. Didn't get the win, but that was because of a late inning bullpen blow up by the Diamondbacks. And you know that was a game that was really, really close, and the Diamondbacks bullpen kind of blew it in the later innings. But, I mean, you talk about a guy that's gone up against some of the best offenses in the Major League Baseball and performed pretty well. You got the Dodgers. He had a 40. The Nationals. The Rockies. He's actually kind of dominated this year. I really kind of like Taijuan Walker. I think he's going to be a low-owned GPP play, and at 7,200 on FanDuel, I'm not going to be afraid to go here with some of my teams.
All right. Just in that matchup, keep in mind, Endurin Ciarte, he just sat out for rest last night. So, you know, he's not going to be somebody that's going to be out for this one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what was interesting? I saw this with Walker, too. Remember how last year he was such an awesome pitcher at home, and then, you know, he really just did not live up to the billing on the road. Well, I mean, not that he's been bad or anything like that, but the split has kind of reversed. At home this season, he's 2-2 with a 4.50 ERA. On the road, 4-2, 2.70 ERA. So keep that in mind. One more quick guy before we get to the last one, who I know you wanted to spend a lot of time on. Luis Castillo for the Reds. He's a guy that's going to have some strikeout upside, but do you want to do that in Yankee Stadium?
Not at his price, because I can go to the next guy for cheaper and probably get more upside.
Okay. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. There's one other guy. Now, if I told you, well, it's not going to be a direct one. All right, but he's on today's slate, and he's priced at 6,800, and he's tied for the NL lead in wins.
You know feeling about wins.
But would you know who I'm talking about?
I know exactly who you're talking about, because I've thought about this, and this is the guy that I have the biggest questions on. We're talking about Zach Davies here, and this is a guy that has at times looked like one of the best right-handed pitchers in the National League. But I'm worried here, because this is obviously the best overall offense in baseball. Maybe not right now, but they are over the course of the season.
Okay.
And when you have guys like Bryce Harper, Daniel Murphy, Anthony Rendon, all these guys kind of, you know, having MVP-type seasons, like, legitimately, you can make a case that three to four of the top 10 MVP candidates in the National League are coming from this Washington Nationals lineup.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard to go here, especially in Washington. I don't know what the weather is, but if we just look at some of the park factors, where is it here? Nationals Park, they're one of the top teams for hits allowed in Major League Baseball.
Wow.
They average just over one hit per inning. And it's very, very, very interesting. So, yes, I have interest, but I'm going to have to do a lot of digging on this for me to feel comfortable going one way or the other. As of right now, this kind of feels like one of those hedgy stacks.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to take a stand on one of these sides going forwards.
All right, just in closing with Davies, he does have four quality starts in his last five outings, and on the road this season, away from Miller Park, 5-0 with a 3.38 ERA in 10 starts. So that is interesting. All right.
Wait, say that again.
He is 5-0 on the road with a 3.18 ERA in 10 starts. In 10 road starts.
Okay.
Interesting. Indeed. All right. Floor is yours.
Jonathan Gray, 6,900 on FanDuel. Now, part of the reason I say this is this. When you compare prices for the sites, he's 9K on DraftKings.
Wow.
Okay.
So I guess Mad Bum's going to be the most expensive. What's he over there?
Negative, Charlie.
No, really?
Mad Bum is not the most expensive.
Wow.
It's funny. It's very, very funny. But if you look at it, let's see here, pull it up. Jameson Taillon is actually the most expensive. Then
Wow.
10-9, 10-7, 9-7. You're getting a $1,000 discount from Madison Bumgarner over Jameson Taillon. But John Gray is the sixth most expensive pitcher. He's more expensive than Charlie Morton, Jake Fiara, Felix Hernandez, Cole Hamels, Danny Duffy, Drew Pomeranz, Seth Lugo, and Kenta Maeda.
And I forget your take on this, but do you put credence, like, do you have more faith in DraftKings pricing algorithm than FanDuel?
I wouldn't say more faith, but their dynamic pricing usually tells us a lot of something, because they price based on
the
dynamics of what's going on and everything. Now here's something that is very, very, very iffy with John Gray. He has one start in St. Louis. Okay. And that start, everybody remembers the New York Mets start where he allowed 8 earned runs in like 2 2/3 or 2 innings total.
He'll never forget it.
His start in St. Louis last season was just as bad, if not worse. And I remember because I had him that slate. and I was at the game the next night. It was colder. It was mid-May, maybe late April, but it was colder, and it was one of those that is just no. It was not good for him. Now, granted, they had more power left-handed bats than they do now. This is not an offense that I'm worried about targeting. And he's got, you know, 10-plus K strikeout potential. For under 7K on FanDuel, sign me up.
The one thing I will say for Gray, now, I saw earlier in the Slack, you said this isn't the same Cardinals team. But, again, they've been giving teams fits. I mean, they just faced Jacob deGrom last week, and he only got 3 strikeouts against them.
Yeah, but that's different. They kind of own Jacob deGrom. They've hit him hard twice now, his last 2 games.
Okay. All right, fair enough. The one thing I will say, though, about Gray, his splits are heavily in favor of him tonight because typically St. Louis is going to roll out a lot of right-handed bats. And this season, John Gray, I know it's so early. It's not even that bad. But lefties are hitting, 244 against in this season in 229 plate appearances, while righties are hitting 183 against him. Extra base hits, homers, they're slightly in favor of the left-handed hitters here, but OPS, slugging, those are in huge favoritism of the left-handed hitters here. So, yeah, I guess that could end up working out. My whole thing was, the Cardinals hit Lady Hair well last week. You know, they should be able to do it again.
He doesn't have lady hair
anymore. I could have swore the last time I saw him it and was shoulder length.
It's between the shoulders and below the ears. It's fine. He's got a little bit of a curl back there.
Folks,
it's
this not, is in-depth hair analysis. MLB
it's not
style.
As bad as it used to. Plus, when he cut it off, he did it for Locks of Love. I mean, how are you going to – if he would have just cut off his hair and been like, whatever. No, he donated it to Locks of Love, so –
I get, that kind of changes my feelings a little bit on that thing.
There you go.
But I tell you what, going into it, I wasn't that thrilled about it. And it like an idiot just because, they hit Lady Hair well last week. So I was like, honestly, it was more or less, look, DeGrom's got some of the best stuff in the majors. And the fact that he only got 3 strikeouts against this Cardinals team kind of really stuck out to me there. But, I did the research with the splits last night. I just highlighted it now. For whatever reason, it looked so much better. So,
I mean, this is a guy that, he's not normally going to give you anything less than, 6 to 8 strikeouts. This is a strikeout power pitcher. He's got some of the best stuff in Major League Baseball. The one thing I'm worried about is the fact that he traditionally over his career has pitched better in Coors Field than he has on the road. But I think that with the start that he had his last time out, it was a good progression after his debacle in New York, and after, getting blown up there last year in St. Louis. I'm hoping that St. Louis doesn't turn into one of his bugaboos where he can't pitch in St. Louis. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean, we're talking about 90 degree weather, 50% humidity, the wind's blowing in about 10 miles an hour from right. The game total's 8.5.
I'm convinced it's Chop that's been putting the hex on him this whole time.
Yeah, no kidding. But who knows? and the other factor that you have to blow into this is who knows who's going to actually be starting for the Cardinals.
Right.
If you want to know what's going on, then if you're a VIP member, check in the Slack. If not, then just sign up with the promo code WIN and you know what I'm talking about. So
yeah, WIN, bro.
But yeah, I mean, I think he's got the best dollar per point potential on FanDuel tonight. And I think he's going to be extremely low owned on DK.
All right. Hey, I know we were supposed to close it out with Gray, but I got to clip that one sec. There was one more guy.
Don't you dare say it.
I didn't realize how cheap he was, but Wade Miley?
No.
Is that the guy that you did not dare want me to say? All right. Amir Schneider, he's got some decent numbers against the Rays. Rays suck against lefties. It's just the Rays bats in general right now are just so cold. I am not looking for Kevin Gausman numbers tonight out of Miley. This is more or less like an Adam Conley type of night, but not as good. Like, I think if you can get like 34, 36 out of a guy like Miley on a night where we're not sure who's going to have the best night.
That's funny that you say that, because he's only hit over 30 twice since the beginning of June, or three times since the beginning of June. And let's see here. The last time, now, I will say this. When he faced Tampa in April, in Baltimore. Now, he was a different pitcher in April and May. Don't get me wrong. He did go seven innings with eight strikeouts, only allowing two earned runs. He didn't even get the win. He got the quality start, and he still got 43 FanDuel points. We'll see what the lineup is that they throw out and the projections that pop out, because our projections have been pretty good about nailing pitchers lately. But I really, really, really don't think that I'm going to go anywhere near Wade Miley tonight.
Look how far he's fallen since the beginning. Oh, man, that makes me want to cry for him.
Why? The other one that I would say that, you know, maybe you could possibly, just because the strikeout upside is there. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I said it two starts ago.
Yeah.
And it worked out beautifully.
I know who EJ.
Yep.
Easy Jesus.
Yep. I mean, the Brewers, they've kind of cooled off a little bit, but they're striking out 28% of the time versus, or 27.5% of the time versus left-handed pitch or right-handed pitching. That is the highest on the slate.
Yeah, and on the road as well. Yeah, the Brewers, they have been striking out like a ton. Like a lot of the Phillies even got in on the mix when they played each other over the weekend. But I believe that was actually Edwin's last start that you called, and he did really well there. He goes seven innings against the Angels. He did give up two runs, both solo shots, but he only gave up three hits in the game. So I think he only had three strikeouts, though. But again, the Brewers can certainly help him out with that a little bit. So I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, the Brewers, they can tag him for some long balls. Don't get me wrong. But he can also, especially since everybody is going to be on the Brewers tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't mind. All right, folks, that was probably our most extensive pitching breakdown of the season right there that we did. But believe me, we need to talk about all of them tonight. So, you know, again, any questions today, you can hit us in the Slack chat, or you want to hit us up on Twitter. Once again, you can find me at 14a.walsh, you find Keith at Boomers DFS Daddy. We'll let you know what the deal is if you got any questions there. All right, let's talk about some bats. Let's start with the stacks here. I know you're a huge proponent of the Astros, but I wanted to just give some clarity and insight into this, because they are going up against Nick Pivetta, very talented young righty for the Phillies, but his big bugaboo this season is right-handed hitters, oddly enough. So believe me, George Springer came out of the game last night.
He's
so
not
going to
be in the lineup. They've already recalled, Derek Fisher.
So that's a bat that you don't have to worry about.
Not that Derek Fisher isn't talented, but he's not as polished as George Springer is.
Mm-hmm. And he had that great shot in the playoffs against the Spurs back in 2003.
Oh yeah. You know, he's great at pissing off Matt Barnes too.
He is. So yeah, so let's see the splits here with Pivetta. Right-handers are hitting over 300 against him, 306, that is. 25 extra base hits. Now, this is in a pretty similar number of plate appearances. Lefties have seen him 138 times. Right-handers are 160 times. Now, keep in mind, folks, when you do, because I've seen a lot of guys in the channel doing these plate appearances lately, remember, you want to take into account all the, you know, the hits and all that kind of stuff, but also walks and the hit batsmen too. Those all count for plate appearances. So definitely keep that in mind. But yeah, right-handers have 25 extra base hits as opposed to 8 against left-handed hitters. Righties hitting 306 as compared to 208 from the left side. And the OPS is the big thing here. 1.046 on the right side, 0.628 from the left-handed side. So all the numbers are right there in plain view. And again, this is, you know, the Astros on the road. It's becoming money in the bank.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not, if for the rest of the season, if you're not stacking Astros on the road, you're just doing it wrong. If you're making multiple lineups, I mean, that's the first place you have to go. We've talked about it. I've talked about it extensively over the last, you know, five, 6 days, week plus. It's just you've got to do it. And it's one of those things that you just can't overlook any longer. So I agree with you. The Astros are the top stack, especially on the road and especially in a park like Philadelphia. I thought it was a mistake that everybody jumped off of them last night. They scored 12 runs. They were my top stack of the night. I didn't care about the weather because I thought I knew they were going to play the game. So that was to win the game. So that's where I was going on that one. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Okay, just to cap off my Astros conversation, their combined projected lineup DFS A grade is a 57.54.
Well, that's
that
not
is
bad.
One of the. Are you kidding me? Most.
Yes, I am.
So. Most teams average right around 22 to 28 if they're in a really good matchup. There is not, besides McCann and Beltran, there is not a guy in the projected lineup that has a DFSA grade lower than 47. Mm. And anything above 40 is a good matchup. And the higher you get, it becomes a better matchup. Just give you an idea. Jose Altuve versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days has a 210 ISO. He's red. Red. Wow. On the color shading. 273, 269, 278, and that's taking George Springer out of it. You have to pay attention to it. So,
let's see here. Other stacks that we're looking at tonight.
Detroit
against the lefty. That is correct.
Yeah, you got Nick Castellanos on that two hole. Be careful with Ian Kinsler. There has been some trade chatter around him. Castellanos, Upton, James McCann, if he's in that lineup. Be careful of Alex Avila if he's in that lineup. Mikey Matuk, I even don't mind. He's got a 396 WOBA and 292 ISO over the last 30 days versus left-handed pitching. I mean, these guys are just killing the ball. So,
And it would not be MLB DFS if a team we all – well, I shouldn't say we all jumped on, but a lot of people jumped on last night – did not come back and just bop everyone over the head for 10 runs after scoring no runs last night. I'm talking about the Texas Rangers, of course. They are facing Dan Straley. Straley's a guy that we always know to be unbelievable at home, but when he goes out on the road, he's a much different guy. So I like some of these Texas bats again tonight. Clearly going to be the best hitting environment in terms of weather tonight. I really
outside was, of Arizona. Yeah.
Well, with the roof closed,
it doesn't matter.
A little bit.
we'll argue about that another day.
We're comparing green apples to red apples again here, but again, still a good play. And you got to think people are going to just, oh, I'm not playing Rangers tonight. They sucked last night. Well, this is how it goes, folks.
Yep. Use it to your advantage.
It's not a scientific explanation, but it works.
Yeah, use it to your advantage.
The Mets, we talked about them potentially having a collapse, but they do have like ridiculous good short-term BVP numbers. So that's a way to go. I don't mind that. Other than that, there really weren't too many stack options that I liked today. It was just a lot of one-offs.
Yeah. It's I don't mind the Dodgers again. I think that they're obviously always in play. You can go Toronto, kind of like I said, the hedgy stack. Oh man, but it's not. It's I like Arizona. I know it's faulty. There's a possibility to get some high enormous K's there, but Arizona, they can hit, and they hit a lot better on at home than they do on the road. So I'm willing to go there.
I'm an idiot, man. Yeah, Arizona was – they're on my damn list. I didn't have it scrolled up that far. I'm an idiot. Yeah, but yeah. They, of course they're in play. Peralta and what's his face? Shit, man. Like Peralta Pollock? And somebody else. Somebody else had – the two of them have, like, absurd short-term BVP against Foltynewicz.
Peralta.
Yeah, yeah, you're Pollock. Right. Pollock and Peralta, yeah. P&P, bruh.
Yeah, so there's some good history there. Yeah, I don't mind going there either. One of these early games is gonna go off, and I'm really kind of interested to see if it's Cleveland. I don't mind going there, especially if you get Bradley Zimmer at the top of that lineup again. You can go the top four, maybe the top eight or five if you're on DK. I mean, that's one way you could, you know, kind of roll it around. Like I said, Toronto against Sonny Gray, who could, you know, definitely have his mind elsewhere. And then Washington, obviously. You know, they're like one of the best offenses, and that's the reason why. Zimmerman's been struggling lately, but his price has come all the way down to 3,400. But
he was actually 3,100 on Sunday against Robbie Ray.
Well, see, that's, I don't play again on Sunday. So, which I will be, because I've got a live final to prep for. So
indeed. All right.
And wait, then you can go the Yankees. Sorry.
Yes. The Yankees. I like those. You mentioned the Indians right there. Right-handers doing slightly better against, JC Chavez. So keep that in mind. And also as well, with Luis Castillo, right-handers doing slightly better in the splits this season against him so far. Mm-hmm. Will that hold? I don't know.
Wait and find out.
I don't know. All right, let's go position by position real quick. With catchers, we were just talking about right-handers against Nick Pivetta. Astros are pretty good about matching up their players to these splits. So Evan Gattis, he wasn't in the lineup last night. I think McCann got the start. So
yeah,
we're going to see Gattis. Run soon. And tonight, yeah, so I really like Gattis in this spot as my top catcher.
I'm going James McCann.
That's right, against the lefty.
Yeah, I mean, 2,500, 3,000 on DK, 670 WOBA, 412 ISO, 1.062 OB ISO over the last 30 days versus left-handed pitching. By far the highest. I mean, he's not just, like, crushing everybody else in the DFSA grade. He's doubling them up plus.
Oh, my.
So, If I don't have the ability to go there, then I might go with the Josh Fegley, who's cheaper. If I can't get up to that, but those are my two primary catchers. Obviously Wilson Ramos won't be in the lineup tonight. Had to have seven staples put in his head yesterday after getting his head lacerated on a broken bat
swing.
Yeah,
that's a bit of a hindrance.
Yeah, so that's definitely something. Martin Maldonado is interesting to me because he's 2,100 on FanDuel. He's got a 356 ISO or 356 WOBA with the 371 ISO over the last 30 days versus right-handed pitching. If you want to take a punt, just an absolute punt, I would say either him or Hector Sanchez.
Yeah, that's my boy. He's going on that softball team.
But it looks like one of those days where I'm not going to pay more than $3,000 for a catcher on FanDuel unless his name is because Perez has some horrible BVP against Folty. So
yikes.
Fulmer.
Francisco Cervelli at all the way down to 2,700. He is still leading all catchers with 14 hits in the post All-Star break era. So I don't mind him at all. Not the greatest park to hit in, but again, you know, he's going to have that platoon advantage against Bumgarner, who Vegas does not like at all tonight. So keep that in mind. Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm going here. I really like the Gattis play. Cervelli, you mentioned Hector Sanchez. Is he at minimum price again?
Hector Sanchez? He is 2200.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's going to be a tough decision between him and Gattis. I guess we'll wait and see what the weather says. But those are probably the only two that I'm even thinking about tonight. Okay. All right. First base, what are you looking at? And by the way, don't say Justin Smoke because his BVP against Sonny Gray
I already know disgusting. That. Yuli Gurriel.
Cool, disgusting, like the kids say.
Yuli Gurriel. You can go there.
Righty.
I don't care.
No, that's the good thing.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I don't care. I mean, 269 ISO versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days. Sign me up. I mean, Cody Bellinger, obviously, he's always going to be in play.
Cody.
Matt Adams, maybe against Taiwan Walker. Taiwan has the ability to allow the long ball every once in a while, so that could be a good place to go.
Yeah.
Lucas Duda, maybe, against Jolly Chacin. I don't like it just because we've talked about Chacin's splits. And the other one is maybe if I don't go there. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt's always going to be in play. Who do I got in there right now? I got Yuli in my default lineup right now. Okay. I mean, first base is not as loaded as it normally is. If I don't go with Fulmer in lineups, then, you know, maybe Michael or maybe Eric Hosmer.
Okay. Hey, did you get any word on why Justin Bour got taken out yesterday?
I did not. I have not looked that far yet, but he's not even in the projected. Oh, yeah, he is. Well, it doesn't matter. He kind of sucks versus left-handed pitching right now.
Okay. One I want to throw at you. Now, he didn't do much last night going up against DeGrom, but Will Myers actually had himself a hell of a weekend in San Francisco. Obviously going to have a pretty good matchup here against Lugo. You know, much better than what he had the night before. But, you know what's crazy? We had somebody post a stat in the Slack chat channel. Will Myers has 5 homers at AT&T Park this season. I believe it's Posey, Panic. I don't know. It's 4 Giants who you would think would have a home, but Will Myers by himself has more homers at AT&T Park this season than those 4 Giants combined.
Yeah, it's unreal.
That is great. By the way, our guy Larry in the Slack chat pulled that up. That was an awesome find.
Yeah, here's a little bit of a money saver if you don't go with a guy like Matt Adams or Yuli Gurriel. Is Adam Lind, if he finds his way into that lineup, 385 WOBA, 226 ISO over the last 30 days. They might try to give Zimmerman a breather with him struggling, although they did just have a day off yesterday. But Adams has hit the ball very, very well lately. So,
Lind, you mean, right?
Yeah, what did I say?
Adams.
Oh, yeah.
But it's Adam Lind, so I got it. Just in case anybody was wondering. Carlos Santana double-donged last night, so he might have a little more popularity tonight, but who the hell knows?
I generally, if he's not one of the elite power hitters, I generally try to fade double-dong.
Okay.
Right after.
Yes, I am well aware. I remember you faded triple-dong last year off Mookie Betts, and then he double-donged. Remember that?
God, I was so... The Boston-Baltimore series last year, those slates were by far my worst because I kept playing the odds and the odds kept biting me in the butt.
Right in the douche. One last one. Your boy Danny Valencia going up against the lefty tonight. You dig?
He grades out well, but like we talked about with Pomerantz, I mean, he's right there in that value option, that mid-range option at first base. But like we talked about with Pomerantz, he's been very, very good, and he's kind of limited the long ball. So maybe a little bit of exposure, but I'm not excited about that one at all.
All right, let's go to second base. I hate to be a douche about this, but I'm starting all my lineups with Jose Altuve tonight.
If I could show you my screen right now for my placeholder lineup on my entries, I have John Gray at pitcher, and a Houston stack of Yuli, Altuve, Marwin, and Reddick. That's, nice. I mean, and that's just until I get lineups, because we obviously know that Derek Fisher could be in that lineup, and if he's in that lineup, Marwin Gonzalez could be bye-bye. just because Derek Fisher is a cool $2,000 on FanDuel.
Yep. And it looks like we should be playing in Philly tonight. I saw some chances of rain, but it's like microscopic at best. So we should be good. Okay. Now, I'm going to be playing the late slate tonight, of course. So we got to find a second baseman from there. Who you liking later on?
Dustin Pedroia.
Okay. He's got some pretty good numbers against Felix.
You can go with Del Scalzo.
I believe Josh Harrison has pretty good numbers against Mad Bum.
Yeah, Josh Harrison actually has the best numbers against Mad Bum besides David Freeze. I think that could be a little sneaky little, you know, mini stack.
Yeah.
I mean, you could even honestly, the way that you could throw in Kutch and Polanco in there as well. So it just depends on how crazy you want to get. But
What the hell am I? No, Carlos Asuaje, man. Like Lock and well, Harrison's numbers are pretty good, but I love me. I always
Dustin
love me.
Dustin Pedroia is 13-for-41 with a double and a home run and only 6 strikeouts in 44 plate appearances against Felix Hernandez.
Jesus, right? But you know, again, if we're talking about the Mets falling flat on their face tonight, then Asuaje. Actually, the Mets announcers last night were giving praise to the Padres hitters left and right, like basically mirroring the same things I've been saying.
Which
about
is
these
odd
guys.
Because the Mets announcers don't usually give any sort of credit to anybody.
No,
from the visiting team.
It's rare. But I got to tell you what, man. Like I love this Padres team. They got a lot of scrappy hitters with Suárez, Spangenberg, Sanchez, Myers, and Jabari Blash. Renfro hit 2 balls that still haven't landed last night. So, well, he hit 2 balls last night that still haven't landed is what I meant to say. But you know,
there you go.
Yeah, indeed. All right, Suárez or Harrison late. I dig. All right, third baseman. I got a sneaky one here tonight, and I haven't looked at the DFSA grades, but I'm wondering if this could work out. Adrian Beltre going up against Straley?
He grades out very, very well.
Okay, good. Yeah, I know Straley.
Actually, no, he doesn't.
No?
He's right there in the middle of the pack. Still a positive matchup, but considering that you've got guys like Moustakas, Freeman, Rendon, Castellanos, and Kyle Seager just going absolutely bananas lately. He grades out right there in the middle. So
yeah, with Beltre, I was trying to get sneaky. I mean, I remember in the past, Straley had some. I believe it was him, if I'm not mistaken. But this season, righties are hitting slightly better. They do have 6 more homers against them this season. Very similar number of plate appearances. OPS is almost 100 points higher against right-handed bats. Going up against Straley. I really like the Rangers to put some runs up tonight. This is how MLB DFS works. Doesn't work one night, does the other night. So going with Beltre, I don't mind that. And then another split-based matchup with Alex Bregman against Nick Pivetta.
Mm-hmm.
I like those. Oh, yeah, all right. So earlier in the show, we were saying the Marlins BVP guy that just completely owns Cole Hamels probably would have no idea. That is none other than Martin Prado. The numbers up against him are quite insane. 22-for-69, which is, was that just over 333, 7 extra base hits, 2 homers. Now only 5 strikeouts in the 72 plate appearances against them. That is awesome. That's the kind of stuff I like to see out of my hitters.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else at third you're thinking about?
I mean, you could always throw in a Nolan.
Sure.
Just because he has the ability to hit out of the ballpark. Let's see here.
Nolan hit ball far.
Yeah. David Freeze has some pretty good numbers against Madison Bumgarner. Obviously, that goes back to his St. Louis days. Travis Shaw versus Edwin Jackson, 419 yeah. WOBA, 317 ISO, and obviously in my opinion, the third best third baseman in baseball right now, at least from the offensive type, Jake Lamb.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, Foltynewicz against left-handers. See ya, as yep. my man Michael Kay would say. Corey Spangenberg, since the All-Star break, has been raking. He's hitting 359, on-base percentage of 432, OPS 1.098. Again, I like Mets falling flat on their face tonight, so roll out the Padres.
Roll it out.
Roll it out.
Okay, so there are usually not a lot of tweets that get me to, you know, quote unquote, go after people. But Number Fire, shut up. I'm gonna retweet this and basically quote it and saying you guys are idiots.
You tell them.
They're basically saying that Rockies all-star third baseman Nolan Arenado is somebody to avoid tonight, and this is coming from Number Fire.
Okay. Don't ever, folks. Now I can do it since I do a podcast with Keith all the time, but don't ever talk shit about the Rockies to Keith.
You don't talk shit about
there will be hell to pay.
You don't talk about Nolan.
No, like, he's one I like Charlie, I like Nolan, and I like Jeffy Hoffman. Then that's pretty much it for the Rockies. I respect Gerardo Parra, but he just hasn't really done a whole lot for me. So
yeah, he's been
awesome, he's been so. Amazing. He's been amazing. All right, let's talk about shortstops. For me, similar to Jose Altuve, the buck ends with one man, Zach Cozart, up against the lefty in Yankee Stadium tonight. I don't know how you go anywhere else.
Yeah, I don't think how you can either. So he's
his numbers against lefties are stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could go with Didi.
Yes, Didi.
In that same game.
Actually, his 16 hits lead all shortstops after the break.
Yeah, and then of course Marwin Gonzalez. I know we typically tend to target righties against Nick Pivetta, but Marwin Gonzalez has a 278 ISO. And a 453 WOBA versus right-handed pitching this season, or in the last 30 days. So
I forget what day. Let me see here real quick. Lindor hit a homer recently, and I know that's not big news. I'm trying to see what day it was, but the homer that he hit, that had to be what? That was I believe Saturday. Yeah, Saturday he hit the home run. You know that was his first homer in over a month.
Yeah.
That's insane. I mean, he's a guy that I usually like playing up against lefties. He's got that good pop on the right side. But yeah, for a guy like that to not have a homer in so long, that's nuts. Watch. No, he's going to hit like eight tonight.
Yeah, it's
in one swing. What's he say?
In one swing. I love it.
All right. So I think we're pretty set there on Cozart, but anybody for the late slate that you like?
Not really. Maybe a Jose Reyes, maybe a Gene Segura. But shortstop's pretty bare in that late slate tonight. I know Joey Mercer's killing left-handed pitching right now. Yeah. And he's depressed at 2,400. The only way I would do that is if you're kind of going with a, you know, pirate stack. But I'm probably not going to go there. Not even if I was playing the late slate, I probably wouldn't go there.
That Corey Seager fella is pretty good. So, you know, you can get.
Yeah,
some
but he's going to be so popular in that late slate because it's so bare. He's going to be very popular in that late slate.
You know what's crazy? Like, he really did not have much ownership at all last night on the – even on the main slate, which I was kind of shocked about. But, yeah, again. But, you know, the other thing I think, too, I'm sure a lot of people are just blindly going to go with Mad Bum. It's tough to fit a guy like Corey Seager in the lineup.
So
I know,
a little bit of game theory there. If everybody's going to blindly go with Mad Bum, do you stack Pirates?
I don't know if I'd stack since we got a total of seven, but
I think like two pirates is probably good enough. Okay, because you got to think like it's nighttime, gonna be cold. I know that didn't stop the Pirates from scoring 10 runs last night, but they were going up against Matt Cain. And while Mad Bum isn't necessarily, you know, posting these ridiculous fantasy point totals, it's not like he's getting totally blown up. I think he's maxed out at like 4 runs in all 6 of these starts. That's his max. That's what he's given up this season so far. So, again, I think we're going to see like a pretty, you know, decent game, maybe like a 3-4-1 Pirates win, something along those lines. So I don't know if I'd stack, especially, you know, when you got the Diamondbacks going up against Foltynewicz. And, you know, and honestly, like, there's probably not going to be that many good bats on this. You got a lot of good pitching late tonight. Mm-hmm. So interesting. Eddie Rosario yesterday went bananas, even up against the lefty, which was pretty interesting. So
there you go.
I'd look for him. I always like Eduardo. I was very close to going with Eduardo Escobar last night, but that would have probably tilted my face off if, you know, Rosario was the one that did all the damage. Sons of bitches. All right, let's just get into outfielders and end the shindig. Who are we liking there?
Let's see. You got Conforto, Harper, Cruz. Here's a guy that probably I know nobody's gonna think about it. Peter Borges. Last 30 days, 2100 against left-handed pitching, 531 wOBA, 500 ISO, 944 OB ISO. If he happens to find his way into the lineup, and I don't care where, come on. Let's go. Let's get it.
All right. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, in the outfield, it's crazy. I really like some of these Yankees outfielders, but particularly Aaron Judge. Now, I mentioned earlier with Castillo having the reverse splits against righties. I think that's going to work out. But you got to keep in mind, too, this Reds bullpen sucks. If they get to Castillo early on, we're going to see a lot of these Reds bullpen. So, you know, even like Brett Gardner, I don't think it's going to be a Clint Frazier night. Probably going to go with Ellsbury tonight. They've been riding with Frazier a lot over Ellsbury. There's been a lot of talk about how to possibly move him, but it's just damn near impossible with his contract. But yeah, whoever the Yankees put in the outfield tonight, I really like them. But again, if it weren't for Jose Altuve, Judge might get the cover today on the article. Just saying.
There you go.
I like it. Your boys, Gerardo Parra, Charlie Blackmon. If Lance Lynn is going to be playing, if he's pitching tonight. Couple trade rumors with him, but you know, nothing final yet. I really like David Peralta, AJ Pollock in that matchup. They both have phenomenal short-term BVP against Mike Foltynewicz. And then back to that theory of if they disappointed you last night, go back to him tonight. Michael Brantley, he had a couple opportunities last night to do some major damage. Ended up his last at bat striking out with the bases loaded, which made me nearly throw something, but. I really like him to do something big tonight.
Okay.
I dig. Who else for you?
Justin Upton.
I like that one a lot.
Just absolutely owns Danny Duffy. You could throw in a Chris Davis, who disappointed a little bit last night, but had the ability to do it.
Sure. Speaking of Chris Davis?
Yeah, with a K.
I like it. Definitely not Corey Dickerson. The man could not hit 4 beach balls right now. So,
yeah.
He sucked. And then also, too, Sinshu Chu. I know that, you know, we were saying the righty, the lefty splits aren't terrible against Straley, but again, if the Rangers are going to do some damage, Chu's probably going to be in the middle of it. Actually, probably starting the damn thing off. He is a little more expensive than usual on FanDuel at $3,500, but I do like the Rangers tonight.
Okay.
All right. That it?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. That will do it, folks. Once again, you like what you heard today and you're still not convinced, use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, at DFSArmy.com. That gets you 7 free days to check out everything that we got going on here with the tools and whatnot. And if you like what you heard and you just want to jump right into the Army, promo code PODCAST gets you 20% off each month of your subscription for the first month and every other month going forward. For me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.